Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. And my text is verses 7 and 8 of Isaiah 51. And the title of the message is, Do You Know Righteousness? Do you know righteousness? Now, often I'll have people ask me why, when I preach, when I teach from the Scriptures, why I speak of righteousness so much. And I do, admittedly, and I do it on purpose. It's certainly no accident. And the reason I preach on righteousness so much is because righteousness is the key subject and the key truth of the Bible when it comes to understanding salvation by God's grace in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the Bible, you know, the Apostle Paul made the statement. He said, I strive to not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's what I preach. I preach Christ. Salvation is by Christ. I had one man accuse me. He says, you don't preach Christ, you preach righteousness. Well, here's the thing about that. You cannot preach Christ without preaching righteousness. And you cannot preach righteousness without preaching Christ, because what the Bible calls righteousness is wrapped up in the glorious person and the finished, completed, victorious, successful work of the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem His people from their sins. In fact, everything that He did in His obedience unto death to accomplish salvation and ensure the salvation of all for whom He died, all whom the Father hath given Him, is summarized in the phrase, the righteousness of God. Now, before I get to my text, let me prove that to you from the Scripture, and I'll just quote Romans 1, 16 through 17 for you. Paul starts off the book of Romans about talking about the gospel of God, which is the revelation of the person of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He is God manifest in the flesh. God with us. He's God and man in one person. That's who Jesus Christ is. And you cannot preach Christ without preaching the glorious constitution of His person. Those who deny His deity deny Him. And those who deny His, and let me emphasize this, those who deny His sinless humanity deny Him. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Paul goes on to show that the gospel of God has to do with the person of Christ, the glorious person of Christ, the revelation of who He is, and the revelation of the success of His work of redemption as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of His people. Now, a surety, He was set up before the foundation of the world to be the surety of His people. Now, what does a surety do? A surety takes legal responsibility to pay the debt of those for whom He stands surety. And that's what Christ did and does. The Lord chose a people and gave them to Christ and put all the responsibility of their salvation, the payment of their sin debt, upon Him. And that's why He said, all that the Father giveth me, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So that's a surety. Now, in order to pay the debt, he had to be my substitute. That means he had to take into union with himself a perfect, sinless human nature and the humanity of Christ, the incarnation of Christ, that we call that. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit and born on that day, whatever day it was, and came forth from her womb. And that's the makeup of his person. And in order to, he had to become man, the Word made flesh, in order to die for the sins of God's chosen people given to him. Take their place, die in their stead, suffer the wrath of God for them. Okay? And then he's the Redeemer. He bought and paid for his people. He didn't try to save anybody. You know, these preachers who are telling you that oh, Christ died for you, but it's no good unless you seal the deal with your faith. No. No. His death is the sure salvation of all for whom he died, including their faith. They will come to him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. How are they going to come to him? By God-given faith. They're going to be born again. Now, that whole transaction in Romans 1:16 and 17, listen to how Paul puts it by inspiration of the Spirit. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God." That word power means like the dynamite of God. That's how big this thing is. "It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." You see, not to all without exception, but only those who believe. And man by nature won't believe, but we'll get to that in a minute. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek also. That's Jew and Gentile. And verse 17 puts it this way. "For therein," in that gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just," the justified, or you could say the righteous, same word, "shall live by faith." That is, if you're justified, you live by looking to Christ, resting in him, clinging to him. That's what that means, to live by faith. It doesn't mean to live on a wish or a whim. Doesn't mean to live blindly. There's no such thing as blind faith in the Bible. So, that's the key. Those who are justified, what does it mean to be justified? It means to be forgiven of all my sins based upon a just ground. And what is that just ground? The blood of Christ. A righteous ground, you might say. To be justified is to be declared righteous in the sight of Almighty God. You see that? And based on what? The righteousness of Christ, the merits of his obedience unto death. And I use this word because it's a biblical word, and a lot of people don't know it today. It's called imputed. In Romans 4 and 6, 4 verse 6, Paul quoted David saying, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works." So it's imputed. That means it's charged. It's accounted. All right. It's laid to my account, his righteousness. And that's how I'm declared righteous in the sight of God, based upon Christ's righteousness imputed to me. As my surety, my sins, my sin debt was imputed to him. As my surety, my substitute, and my redeemer, his righteousness is imputed to me. And so, summarized in that phrase, the righteousness of God. Now, if you go back to the text now, verse Isaiah 51, this is a prophecy of Christ. And you'll see the reason I chose this Old Testament prophecy. The whole chapter is a prophecy of Christ telling Isaiah the prophet, telling the Jewish people, the Israelites, to look forward to the promise of the coming Messiah for righteousness, for salvation. That's what righteousness is. It's salvation by Christ. Christ is our righteousness. Our righteousness is Christ. And look at verse 7 now. This is Isaiah 51. He says, hearken unto me. Hear me. Listen to me. Don't let this go in one ear and out the other. You that know righteousness. Now there's the key. Do you know righteousness? All right. The people in whose heart is my law. He says, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. And verse 8 says, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. That's a symbolic language of their destruction. That is, those who do not know righteousness and hate the people of God. But he says in verse 8, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Now that's that verse there, the name Jesus and the title Christ is not explicitly spelled out in these verses, but that's exactly who it's talking about. Jesus, who is my salvation. That's what his name means. He shall save his people from their sins. Christ, that is the anointed of God. And he is the salvation of God's people. That's what his name means. And so, he is their righteousness. Now, he says, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. Do you know righteousness? Now, let me say this. If you know righteousness, you know God. And if you don't know righteousness, you don't know God. God is a just God. He is a righteous God. He is both a just God and a Savior. Back over in Isaiah 45, he mentions that. You see, what we're talking about is who God is, according to how he reveals himself in his word. And that's the problem with people today. They don't want to bow to the God of the Bible. They want to bow to a God of their imagination, a God who thinks like they do, who acts like they think he should act, and not as he is. For example, we hear a lot of messages talking about the love of God today. And I want to preach the love of God. But if you preach the love of God without the justice of God, you're not preaching the God of the Bible. See, God is a loving God. He is love, the scripture says. But his love can only be found and experienced and enjoyed as sinners look to Christ. There's not, listen, and I'm not here just to try to offend people. But we think about evangelism today. That is preaching the good news to lost people. And we see all these different formulas and step one, step two, step three things. You know, we preach this message and then we say, now say with me, sinner, you know, blah, blah, repeat after me and pray this prayer. My friend, that's not biblical. And preachers will stand in front of people and they'll just blanketly say, now God loves you and he's trying to save you. And they'll go to John 3:16, which they take out of context. God so loved the world. I love John 3:16, but it's not talking about everybody in the world without exception that has ever been born or ever will be born. That's not what it's saying. He says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The world there is the world of those who come to God by faith. Through Christ. That's what he's talking about. And I don't have time to go to all the scripture that I can show you that. But here's the point. There's not one example in scripture where an evangelist stood before a crowd and blanketly said, now God loves you, Christ died for you, now the rest is up to you. You won't find that in the Bible. Now they stood up and they said, God is holy and just and righteous. And God saves sinners in mercy and love and grace, but his mercy, his love, his grace is in Christ. And outside of Christ, there's no love from God. Outside of Christ, there's no mercy from God. Outside of Christ, there's no grace from God. Romans 5:21 says, grace reigns through righteousness. Now, here's where we got to get to. Do you know righteousness? Grace reigns. For as sin hath reigned unto death, Romans 5:21, grace hath reigned through righteousness unto eternal life. And where are we going to find righteousness and eternal life? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to experience the love of God? Run to Christ. So when we preach God's love, we must preach it in the context of God's justice. 1 John chapter 4, I believe it's verse 10, that says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us, talking about His people now, not everybody without exception, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, what is that propitiation? That's a sin-bearing sacrifice that brings satisfaction to justice. It's righteousness. That's what it is. And so if you know righteousness, you know God. God is both a just God as well as a Savior. God is both a righteous judge as well as a loving Father. He must be both, a just God and a Savior. How's He going to be both? Through the righteousness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know righteousness, you know the law. Back here in Isaiah 51, verse 7, He says, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Do you know righteousness? If you do, you know the law. And what do you know about the law? You know that you cannot be saved by your works of the law. The law demands perfection of righteousness, and you don't have it, I don't have it. Romans 3:10 says that there is none righteous, no, not one. That's talking about us by nature. And if you know the righteousness and you know the law, you know that your efforts to make yourself righteous aimed at attaining righteousness before God, aimed at earning God's favor, earning God's blessing, that they are dead works, evil deeds, and you cannot do it. If you look back at Isaiah 51, verse 1, listen to what he says here. He says, hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness. Now, how do you follow after righteousness? You that seek the Lord. You see that? He says, look unto the rock whence you are hewn. And he says, and to the hole of the pit which you are digged. What is the rock from which I was hewn, and the hole of the pit which I was digged? I fell in Adam. I fell in Adam into sin and death. I was born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And it's impossible for me to save myself. I cannot by my works. I want you to go to Romans chapter 9 with me. And I want you to look at this. This is how the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, summed up the whole problem that Israel had with their misunderstanding of the law, which means they didn't know righteousness, the nation as a whole. Now, there were a few. There was a remnant according to the election of grace. But look at what he says in verse 31 of Romans 9. He says, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness. Now, remember over in Isaiah 51, 1, you that follow after righteousness. All right, he says, Israel, verse 31 of Romans 9, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. They didn't make it. They followed that. They were trying to be good. They were trying to be moral. They were trying to be sincere. Well, is there anything wrong with that? Now think about this. Is there anything wrong with me trying to be moral and trying to be good and trying to be sincere? Not in and of itself. But if I expect that to earn my way to God, earn my salvation, then there's a lot wrong with it. It's dead works. It's works of unrighteousness because it denies the glory of God. It elevates me to a place where I do not belong. And it's nothing more but boasting in the works of unbelief. But let's go back to Romans 9. I want you to see the whole point here. Verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, verse 32, in other words, why didn't they make it? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Now, what is it to seek righteousness by faith? Okay, now think about it. He's not saying that your act of believing makes you righteous. What he's telling us is the person in whom we believe, if he is righteous, that's what makes us righteous. And he says in verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion, that's the church, a stumbling stone. This is quoted from Isaiah, and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him, on him, that is, on a person. Who is that person? Christ shall not be ashamed. And then look at chapter 10 of Romans, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, back in Isaiah 51, he's talking to those who know righteousness. But there's a big portion of Israel, and there's a big portion of humanity today, and it's always been the same in every generation, who do not know righteousness. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, for I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, Romans 10:2, but not according to righteousness. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, what is the righteousness of God? Well, here's what I've said. Now, think about it. If you know righteousness, you know God, a just God and a Savior. If you know righteousness, you know the law, and you know yourself. You see, I'm a sinner. And if I'm going to be saved, it must be totally, 100%, every part of it, by God's grace, based upon the righteousness of Christ. And I'm telling you, here's how far that goes. I should try to be the best I can be in every way, morally, responsibly, sincerely, but that's not going to make me righteous. You see, righteousness, now listen to this very carefully. Righteousness is the perfection of the law that can only be found in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at Romans 10 and verse 4. Here's where he says. He said, they followed after righteousness. They didn't make it because they were seeking it by their works. And they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Who is that? That's Christ. And what did Christ tell him? Matthew 5:20, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of God. So here in Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. There it is. The perfection of righteousness, which God requires and which we must have if we're to be saved, can only be found in the glorious person and finished work of Christ. He's the end of the law. He's the finishing of the law. That's what that means. Back over in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 12. Here's a prophecy of Christ. Listen to what it says. Hearken unto me. This is Isaiah 46, 12. Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. You know what he's talking about there? Self-righteous people who are trying to make themselves righteous by their works and think they've done enough to please God. They don't know their sinfulness. They don't know God. They don't know the law. They don't know themselves. And he says in verse 13, I bring near my righteousness, God's righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. You know who that's talking about? That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Two times in the book of Jeremiah, Christ, the Messiah, is identified by the Hebrew term Jehovah Tsidkenu. You know what that means? The Lord, our righteousness. That's what he is. So go back to Isaiah 51 now. He says, verse 7, let's look at it again. Now, and back up here in Isaiah 51, look at verse 4. Listen to this. Hearken unto me, my people, give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. Verse 5, my righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. And then he tells them, verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens. In other words, don't look for righteousness down here on earth in yourself by your works and in other men and women. Look unto the heavens. Look to God by faith, according to his way of righteousness, which is Christ. Look upon the earth beneath. See it in light of what God says. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. He's talking about the physical universe. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. That's Christ. And so hearken unto me, you that know righteousness. Now, do you know righteousness? My friend, if you're trying to work your way into God's favor, to earn his salvation, earn his blessings, his benefits, you don't know righteousness. You may think you do. And people may tell you they do. You know, Christ said the Pharisees appeared righteous unto men, but they were not. Do you know righteousness? If you know righteousness, you know God. You know the law. You know yourself. And mainly, you know Christ. You know that his blood is the full payment of all my sins. His righteousness is my only perfection before God. His righteousness imputed to me. And when you come to him by God-given faith, you look to him for righteousness and you repent of all that other stuff, those dead works. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.